Affirming the Reformation, Romans 1:16-17. The 16th century Protestant Reformation is raised of God to bring the Bible back to the church. And this battle continues on today. In fact, it rages on even more as we remember this year of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. The church has gone a long way, and the battle continues to be fought tooth and nail, and the people of God need to be reminded of this continuing Reformation. It was on the 31st October 1517 that the reformer Martin Luther boldly nailed his 95 theses or short statements on the castle door of the church in Wittenberg to expose the lie of the medieval Roman Catholic Church selling God's pardon for sin through payment of sums of money to the church called indulgences. It was an awakening for the church to purpose in her heart that the Bible alone is the Bible's, is the believer's final authority for rule and faith. And today, this is that same challenge that confronts thy people. Have you met those who tell you, don't talk too much about the Bible? You're always harping, going back to the Bible. Well, that's a compliment. We should continue to study the Bible, because therein lies the strength for faith, for life. This effervescing life that flows out of the Spirit of God that is in the believer has its foundation and root in this life-giving words. And we must endeavor to take time to study it so that our lives may be rich, our lives may be strong, our lives may be wholesome, and we may do the will of God in our lives. The Bible alone is the sufficient authority to govern the life of believers and the church. Before 31st October 1517, the church had forbidden lay people to read and study the scripture on their own. It was through the Reformation and later on the invention of the printing press. Do you know that in the fullness of time, God caused a greatest invention that came during the time of the Reformation, the invention of the printing press that allows written or words to be multiplied, proliferated in unprecedented manner. And the first book that was printed on the press, and it's interesting that both the Reformation and the printing press were invented in the land of Germany. It was at that time that God was stirring in the hearts of the people in that land, because darkness was so great. You recall when our Lord Jesus Christ came upon earth, it was a time of great darkness. Israel had departed from their God. They had the word of God, but they could not understand what was written therein. And when their Savior came and walked upon the earth, they could not recognize him for all the miracles that he had done. They were blinded. It was a time during the Reformation that light began to shine again, and the power of the Holy Spirit burst forth with dynamite, dynamic power. We just completed the study of the book of Acts, and we saw how in the short 30 over years of history of the infant church, it grew all the way from Jerusalem to the heart of the Roman Empire. It was phenomenal, the power of the gospel in the hearts of men who are consecrated to God. And this is a fire that needs to be rekindled in the hearts of thy people, that the people may be awakened to the perils of their souls. This was what happened to the man, Martin Luther. At the heart of the Reformation is the Reformation of the heart. When the soul of man takes hold of the gospel of Christ by faith, a miraculous work of reconciliation takes place between that soul and his maker. Sins are forgiven when the sinner takes hold of Christ. His perfect righteousness in fulfilling all the law in the life of Christ on earth, and his death upon the cross to take our place for sin, where he shed his blood to wash away our sins, that we may be acceptable to God through the righteousness that Christ gives to us. This is the story of the Reformation, that the people get to know the Bible. And it is interesting that in the days leading to the Reformation, the Bible was a forbidden book. It was hidden from the people. And this monk, Martin Luther, in the library of his Augustinian monastery, chanced upon, or we said, by God's appointment, to an old book in the library, where he took it out and he began to read it, and he began to realize that this is no ordinary book. This is a supernatural book that God had given to his people. A supernatural book that allows his people to be able to see and be able to grasp the truth. Ah, it is the gospel, the life-giving word of the gospel, that is so important that light began to shine again out of darkness during the days that led to the Protestant Reformation. The two thoughts that we want to think about today from Romans 1, 16 and 17 is courage, verse 16, and faith, verse 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the Apostle Paul says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This was the secret to eternal life. The greatest secret that the kings of the earth sought for in the ages past and could not find. But hidden in that book, as he undusts the book. You know, old books are very dusty. I was given a spray so that when you open old books also has value, right, passed on, right, from those who have studied them. books of piety.
You have to make sure, you know, was told to spray so that you wipe off the dust and you won't sneeze. And, well, Martin Luther got a hold of the Bible for the first time. And he took time and he studied. And he was soundly converted. Before that, he was spending a lot of time trying to make right with God. Do you try to make right with God in your life? I believe all of us do. Before we come to the salvation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that searching. And for the man Martin Luther, that searching was an intense one. In fact, he gave everything he had in order to search for eternal life. He was frightened. He was a frightened man. He was frightened of death. He was afraid to see blood. There was once he was injured, hurt. Main artery was cut. And he stood to lose his life. And it was in those danger that he realizes his own peril. How frail life is. And what will happen to me when I die? Do you ask yourself this question? Well, sometimes we don't see the need. But when certain situations confront us in life, where we are threatened to the core, that's where sudden fear comes into our hearts. For Martin Luther, he was finding that, trying to find that magic formula in order to calm his soul, in order to calm his heart. And he read in verse 17 of our text, "The just shall live by faith," when we take hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. This was the truth that he discovered in the Bible. And he could not resist sharing it with the world. And it took him great courage to be not ashamed of the gospel, because he had to go against the entire establishment in order to prove his conviction, in order to affirm the faith in his heart. Right? Have you heard of people who tell you that I believe, but I don't need to share. I don't need to share with others. Don't need to let people know that I am a believer. I was just talking to a man recently, and he said this to me, because we were all wondering, is he truly a believer? And he says that, "I believe." When I quietly questioned him, I asked him, and he says, "No need to be proud. You believe with your heart." But I said that your faith also has to be confessed outwardly. And it shows if it's true inwardly by that outward confession. And this was what Martin Luther did. Because for him to confess the truth, it means that he had to be very, very courageous. Even to lose and stake, put his own life at the stake. This is what we are talking about here. When the Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." What is he saying? He says that even when I die, you would kill this mortal body. The soul lives on. He had that kind of a conviction in his heart to take hold of the Word of God in order to share this truth. to all the dying world. And he began in his monastery area in the Wittenberg. There was an old wooden chapel. And what he did was that he used that chapel with the approval or the encouragement by the head of the order, the Augustinian order, this man by the name of John Staupitz. He encouraged him to share the word. He has been studying the word of God for a long time, and he felt the need to share it so that the others may come to the light. And so there was a wooden pulpit, 3 feet or some height in that wooden chapel. That's where they begin their worship service. He began sharing the truth. He began preaching the word, sharing the gospel to the people. And that process led him and the people around that area to understand the truth. Many were born again. And then he had to take a bolder step. He knew that on the 1st of November, 1517, that's the nearest time to the events called the All Saints Day, where the people would gather together in order to find blessings from God. And the way they do is very interesting. They would worship the relics, the body parts of body of saints, parts of the clothing and, you know, ornaments of gold, ornaments of silver, ornaments of precious stones. They will all be displayed at the church at the Wittenberg. And the people would come and receive their blessings by a rich indulgence. They would give something, and they would hope that they would find forgiveness. And that, Martin Luther thought, would be important next step for him, because he needed to reach out to people and where to do so to be able to trigger. That's why, you know, that picture of him nailing the 95 theses on the castle door is significant, because that was a momentous moment that sparked off the Reformation. And it took him courage to be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, to believe that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And he had to stake all. Everything was at stake. He was already a professor of theology at that time in Wittenberg University. But he, knowing the truth, was born again, knew that he had to do something to share the joy that he has, the peace that God has given him in his heart. Remember, we said that he had a great struggle in his soul in order to find God. And he found it through his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this was what he did. He took up courage. He wrote his 95 theses. And it was meant to expose the corruptness or the corruption that was in the church at that time. And what he did was indeed a very courageous act. And this is what we need to do too, to boldly share the gospel to the people around us. They are in darkness. They don't know the light. But we have been given a good heritage, the King James Bible, all of it intact. We can safely go and declare it to the people. And we know that it is the power of God unto salvation. Will you be willing to be an instrument for the Lord to declare this simple gospel? To stand on the truth, to stand firmly upon the Word of God, on the Bible, the old truth, the old faith that God has given to us. And I can say that the world is turning away from God, turning away from the Reformation faith. And the Lord wants us to have that courage to stand and stand firm. You know, Article 6 of our Constitution is biblical separation. How we would not be involved in any dialogue, any compromise with the Roman Church. And we said it without apology. And we said this with conviction in our hearts to know that this is the truth, and you know, we stand squarely upon it, and we ask God to protect us, to help us, to share the truth. By God's mercy, men and women may be given the word. So the first thought, courage. He pinned the 95 theses. What was it? Well, one of them reads like this. They preach mere human follies, who maintain that as soon as money rattles in the strong box, the soul flies out of purgatory. It was falsehood that the people believed with all their heart. And it's so sad, isn't it? Today, we have those who tell us too that salvation cannot be so simple. At least you must do something. Can I do something? Well, the faith that we have inherited from the Lord through the scriptures is that you do not have to do anything, in the sense that you cannot earn your own salvation. You cannot work towards your salvation. But this salvation that is granted to you is given by faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who is that substitute to pay for all your sins by His life that He lived perfectly, and by His death, His blood shed, His body broken, in order that you may find a way back to God. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And this is the good old message of the gospel that continues, that needs to be, that continues to be held by the people of God. Courage, the first thought, and faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Luther's life was gripped with fear. Have you talked to people who are fearful? And sometimes they would not articulate their fear openly. That fear plagues the heart, and it causes that the heart, you know, has no peace. But faith is the counterforce. Faith in Jesus Christ take away all fear. Jesus says, Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He understood that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he took time to study the scriptures in the original because of the development at that time. The original scriptures were made available to the people. And he took time to study the Bible in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, in the Greek, in the New Testament. And as he took time to plow through the Word of God, it opened his heart to the truth. And it is like a life, living water that flows out of him, that he cannot hold back. And that blessing is going to flood all of Europe. You see, one man on fire for the Lord can have that kind of a great power. And the Lord tells us that he can use a poor monk like Martin Luther. He was from the poorest of the peasant family. He can use you in these last days for his own kingdom work. What we need is courage and faith to take hold of God and his word. And the Lord wants us to realize that this faith that we have begins us on that journey to eternal life. But it also is that same faith that keeps us on that journey of eternal life. It is that same faith to take hold of the promises of God. The man John Calvin was called the theologian of the 16th century Reformation. And he gave a good definition of faith. He said that faith is superior to human intelligence. Faith is superior to human intelligence, and it comes by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Word of God with you, you have superior intelligence. You know that you are not made from the apes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And the Lord wants you to take hold of faith. This superior intelligence, heavenly wisdom that comes through the illumination of the Holy Spirit when you, by prayer, study the Word of God. God gives you that kind of a strength to live life, and your life will never be the same again. This is the life that counts from faith to faith. This was the life that Luther lived. You know, he introduced hymn singing into the church. As we were mentioning, we produced the CD of hymns. He introduced hymn singing as a part of the liturgy of worship that we have inherited today. The hymns that we have, the hymn books that we have, the hymns that were written were an offshoot of the Reformation. That's how we worship God, as a result of this revival, when we go back to the old time faith that was lost for 1,000 years. And not only that, he also reared a happy family. He got married and got children, and the faith was passed down from one generation to another. And the Lord wants that the succeeding generations of His people to continue to hold on to that old faith, to that old path, to continue to stand for the Word of God, to continue to be blessed through the power of the Word of God in your life. How is the Word of God affecting your life? How is it impacting your life? How is it reviving your soul? That's the Reformation. How is it reviving your soul after hearing so much? Does it touch you to live for the Lord? Does it strengthen you? It must. We must be strengthened to serve the Lord with the time that we have. How much time do we have? We don't know. But we know that with the life that we have, we can make good use of it in order that we may earn in eternity great rewards from our Lord Jesus Christ when He would return. He would say to you, "Thou good and faithful servant." Would you serve Him while He gives you life? Would you take time to continue to read His Word, to study His Word, to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together in Bible study, in spiritual fellowship? Let us make time, make effort, that our souls may be strengthened, revived, and that we may be charged to go forward. You know, here in the area, there are many who are still non-Christians, do not know God, and they are still trying to find the way to God by good works. And we need Martin Luther's today with the courage to, and the faith to do the work of God. And may the Lord raise men amongst us to fulfill His will in these last days. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy truth. We ask that Thou bless Thy truth to the hearts of Thy people, that indeed the Reformation is a reformation of the heart. May Thou be gracious to revive the hearts of Thy people, that we may indeed go forth with the sound of the gospel to conquer and yet conquer, that in Christ Jesus is the victory, is eternal life, is heaven. O Lord, give us this zeal and strength to serve Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. 256 is our final hymn. 256. The Bible stands. Let us arise to sing. The Bible stands. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. His pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted and destroyed. It can never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. The earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. We have these takeaways for you. The CD, more than 200 hymns on piano. Do take and distribute and use it. It will bring peace to your soul, as it has for mine. Tracks, Help from Above, The Way to God. Very well written. The best. You can take them, read it, share it. You'll find that this is a gospel pact that you can use to help someone. Explanations are all inside. The Protestant Reformation, Returning to the Word of God. This publication by the Trinitarian Bible Society provide a good, concise rendition of the Reformation in its 500th year. I read to you just this at the front. The Reformation of the 16th century is, next to the introduction of Christianity, the greatest event in history. It marks the end of the Middle Ages and the beginning of modern times. Starting from religion, it gave directly or indirectly a mighty impulse to every forward movement and made Protestantism the chief propelling force in the history of modern civilization. I was quoting Philip Chaff, History of the Christian Church. May the Lord bless this, and also our year planner, fourth year running. We thank our brother Conhui for preparing it for us. We are thankful to the Lord. It's printed, so do use it. You can give it as a gift to your friends. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious, the Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen.
Do adjourn now to the worship, to the fellowship hall, for a time of refreshment. We have prepared refreshments for every one of us. There will be no classes today. The service is now over.